Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 167 for Tuesday, October 26th of 2021. And on tonight's panel, we have got Nick Howard. Hey, Nick.
Hey, hey, what's going on, everyone? I'm back.
You are back. I got to figure out a way to match that velvety tone of yours. We also have got Ryan Zeller.
Hey, chocolate or something? Jeez.
Hi, everybody. Good to be back. It's been a few weeks.
It has been. You've been busy working on a house, though, right?
House and Killer Frogs Fan Nation and a bunch of good stuff.
So you haven't been busy at all.
Pays the bills.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. And I can't wait to see what you and your husband have been working on out there. You guys have been putting a lot of time into that. So
we'll have a Christmas party.
Yeah, that'd be nice. We also got Hunter Nix. Hey, Hunter.
We're back, sad Sam Ellinger, you know, all that again.
You can tell Hunter is really excited to talk about the West Virginia game. So rounding out tonight's podcast panel, we've got a special guest. We have Andrew Baus, and Andrew Baus is with College Game Day Tour, and Andrew was a guest of ours at TCU on Saturday night, and Andrew, just straight up, I hope we welcomed you with open arms and you had a fantastic time at the tailgate on Saturday evening.
Absolutely. Really, really did. I mean, y'all just really welcomed me and my group with such open arms, and we really appreciate it. College Football Tour is the title, by the way.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I said
no,
tour.
No worries.
My apologies.
Don't worry.
So, but explain to this. I mean, what exactly do you guys do? Because I know there are a few of our fans that didn't get a chance to kind of peruse some of the stuff we posted in the game thread yet. So take us through this. What are you trying to accomplish here?
Well, the goal is to attend a game at all 130 FBS college football locations. And, you know, the focus is to, you know, really see how each university celebrates their game day in their unique way. And that's what, to me, is so special about college football, is that everywhere does it a little bit differently. And I like to report on those nuances and, you know, hopefully instill some pride in every fan base that comes and takes a look at their particular university on my page, while also providing some information for those who want to go to a stadium for the first time and kind of get a sense of what to look forward to. So it's so much more about what's outside the lines. Although, you know, I do report a little on that, but it's quite a bit about what it feels like to be at that game day.
Yeah, that is an unbelievable goal. And hopefully, you know, Horned Frog fans, you understand why I called it an achievement. I mean, this goes far beyond, you know, your typical video game style achievements. I mean, to have a single game at every single stadium, that's a monumental task. And I imagine that you have had some amazing experiences along the way. So how many have you gone to up to this point? How far are you on your goal?
TCU was number 88 of the 130. And, you know, I take it slow. I take it slow and I take my time. I like to go to a place and really soak it in. So I've been doing this for a long time, intentionally, not trying to rush it, because I really want to ensure that I'm catching as much as I can. I don't want to come in and just leave. I really want to, you know, meet people, make connections, and really get the local feel. And get the sense of what it's like to be there. And that takes a lot more than just kick off to the final gun.
Now, you're a Big Ten guy, right?
Yes.
Okay, so did this start off with kind of like a pack, just be like, let's try to make sure that we make a game to every single Big Ten stadium? Is that how this got started?
It was, I mean, a pact to no one but myself in the mirror, maybe. I mean, I grew up in a very, very sports-centric family, but I didn't connect to that until I saw all the passion and pageantry that surrounded it. So no other sport does it like college football. I was dragged to many other sports, and I enjoyed them to as far as I could, but you know, it wasn't until I really attended college football games. And for me, it was Wisconsin. That's my alma mater. And I got to experience that program being turned around in the early 90s. I went to those games as a boy then, when Barry Alvarez was flipping the program around. And, you know, my family had a big family vacation out to the 1994 Rose Bowl, which was Wisconsin's first one in 31 years. And it was just incredible how it turned the state out. You know, there was so much red in California, and it was, you know, it just opened my eyes to, like, wow, there's so much more than just the game. And when I got to college, I started to follow the Badgers around. And before I know it, I started counting on, you know, thinking, how many have I actually been to? And it's kind of where it started. I really got thinking that I want to go beyond just Wisconsin and the Big Ten and beyond.
So at that point, so this started early 90s. When did you decide you were going to do this and kind of spread out beyond the Big Ten? When did that goal begin to kind of visualize in your head as far as this is the way you wanted to go?
I moved to Denver for a year post college to have a college experience post college. And just wasn't done, man.
Denver's a good place to have that experience.
Yeah, I know. So I needed one more year and shake out the cobwebs. But while I was out there, I thought, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to hit Colorado State, Wyoming, and Air Force. And I did that in 2004. And that's when it started to kind of really, you know, ring true that this is something that I could do. And it got me thinking, how many people have done this and or are on their road to doing it? And I met a couple people who are on their way, and there are a few more that have been doing it on the way since. And we're starting to form a little community now, which is kind of fun. But that's when it started in earnest. I started my website in 2006 with the full intention of, you know, getting my message out there through photo, video, and the written word. And it's been so much fun. It's been so much fun, and I'm so glad that I'm not rushing through it. It just makes it so much better.
Yeah, that's certainly a big chunk to try to get all, you know, try to get in really quick. And I totally respect that idea of just taking it slow and taking it all in, because there is so much of, like you said, the pageantry that goes into college football. So that is an unbelievable goal. Sorry, Ryan, what were you going
to
say?
Oh, well, I just wanted to hear some stories from other stadiums and experiences. I know that, you know, TCU's been in several different conferences along the way, and we all look back on, you know, the Mountain West, I think, was just a really cool conference, even Conference USA. And back when we were with Air Force, I mean, the town, Colorado Springs, is just amazing. And of course, just that campus is just gorgeous. And
yeah, but you got to watch your legs when you go to Colorado Springs. Just saying.
What?
I said you got to watch your legs when you go to Colorado Springs. Sorry, dig at Air Force. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, went right over my head. But anyway, no, but then, yeah, so all, I mean, God, they all had their own story, and they're all so special. And I know I'd asked you about, what, you know, A&M, because, I mean, that's impressive. We all know A&M here in Texas, and whether you like them or not, that campus is amazing. And you were telling me a little bit about that. I had another one pop in my head about Notre Dame. I don't think I asked you about that. That's another one that just kind of stands out in people's heads. So talk about some of your favorites and why, especially ones that would surprise people maybe too.
Yeah. I like this question a lot. And yeah, I'm based out of Chicago, so there's so much that I can get to just driving. And that's actually how my tour started, and is just driving because I was broke. And there's so much locally, but, you know, going beyond a lot of that you mentioned, you know, A&M, LSU, Penn State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, those are ones that really I always seem to repeat a lot when I'm talking about the big ones. But, you know, those are ones you know about. Some of my favorite places I like to, you know, shock people with a little bit. Cal Berkeley, great location for a game. You know, you get in that stadium, it's a perfect bowl, almost like a, you know, Rose Bowl type look. And one of my favorite aspects of Cal is they have this hill right adjacent to it. It's called Tightwad Hill. And it's called that because you have a great view of the stadium and of the Bay Area. And you can have an empty wallet and be there. And it's great. You know, I mean, that is so super unique. And there are people who build bleachers into the trees and all that stuff. That kind of stuff is cool. Colorado's fantastic. Nothing quite, you know, beats that entrance of Ralphie coming out of the gate. That's really, really cool. Virginia Tech is outstanding. I mean, another fantastic entrance and a really great feel. I love and I hate this question because I want to say every single one. I could tell you something about every single one that I loved. And, you know, yeah, there are some a little lower on my list, but you know, I could tell you a little something about everything that I've been to that I love. Those are a couple of the ones kind of off the radar. I really, truly am saying this, you know, not just because I'm on this podcast, but I'm going to start adding TCU to that. I honestly, there's so much richness to it. And you'll see in my article that I wrote about it on collegefootballtour.com that I fell in love with all the traditions and everything that embodied that game day.
Well, we appreciate that.
Well, you know, that brings up a good point because as we kind of look where we are right now as a program, I think a lot of people have kind of lost perspective as far as, you know, we see it every week, right? And you're coming into this with fresh eyes. What part of our game day experience or tradition, especially considering the 87 other campuses that you've been to, that you're drawing experiences and comparisons to, what part of our game day experience was one of those things that was like, you know, that was unique, or that was different, or that was something that I'm going to underline or highlight and just kind of keep in my back pocket when somebody asks this question in the future?
It was a seamless blend of the classic traditions and with the new traditions. That was kind of a really cool thing. Nothing there felt too old or too new. You talk about, you know, I know Super Frog was brought in 1994. I'm sorry, the Froghorn was brought in 1994. And that was that feels like it's been there forever, doesn't it? I mean, can you imagine game day without that? The Riff Ram chant, which I really, really worked hard at getting, by the way, and Brian can laugh at a few stories about that. There were a few outtakes of me trying that and a few.
Well, you had the perfect person to teach you how to do it.
Yeah, I know, right? But that was not, and I'm not trying to necessarily say one is better than the other, connected, but it reminded me a little of Texas A&M. A lot of the Midnight Yell kind of stuff. Riff Ram is, you know, to have a century-old cheer that is still relevant, mm-hmm. That doesn't happen everywhere. I can only think of a couple places where that really has happened, and that is outstandingly unique. I know, you know, the mascot's been through a lot of changes, the Horned Frog since 1897. Yes, I've done my research all these years. I know I've got it ready to go. you know, the endearing to Super Frog is so great. The bleacher creature run. I'm sorry. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. Baylor, you know, has what their freshmen come out, but no, nobody does that. And I know that's a newer tradition that is so cool. What a great way to bond the fan base with the football program. Like,
I have to interrupt you because I wish I had my camera ready, but Andrew led the bleacher creatures. For those of you who do not know, this is TCU tries to make all their sporting events very family centric. Cause we've got so much going on in the community that we compete with. And so TCU is kind of like K-State, and it's just a family tradition. And so Andrew, I think Remo was probably the one who suggested it, was like, let's get him down there to do the run, you know, and which was phenomenal. And he's a kid at heart. And so I was looking, and my friend Zabette was sitting to the right of me, and I was like, we got to find Andrew and Owen. He's got the pinkish red shorts on. We'll be able to spot him. And next thing I know, Zabette's like, I think that's him right there in the lead, leading everybody. And you were, and it was awesome. I was like, I hope that's him. Please let that be Andrew. And it was.
I'd have had a few flags thrown on the play that I was doing running down. I was clipping a few people and
get out of my way, you kid.
Are you kidding me? And Rima is like the perfect person to do that with. Oh my gosh. She is just like totally fired up. Absolutely ran, like that was fantastic. And running across and seeing everybody kind of go with it. But you know, I have not been anywhere that they do that. I certainly don't do it like that.
Yeah.
And how can you not put your full intensity into that? That's fantastic.
Well, I was very proud of you. It was a good moment.
You were just proud that I didn't fall, but thank you.
I know, right? Oh.
That is
well. Where are you off to this weekend? Do you have it planned out, your next game?
Yeah, my schedule. I set it like usually back in May and June to get everything all organized and make connections. This year, I'm kind of taking what I call a break in between each new stadium, and by break I mean I'm doing something local. Like I'll do Illinois, I'll do Wisconsin, Iowa, Notre Dame. This weekend I'm doing Northwestern. It's kind of a second home to me. Literally I'll be biking to it this weekend. It's 20 minutes from my house, and meeting some friends there. We do a big tailgate every year, doing it for the past decade plus. We pick one weekend to do it. And, you know, it'll be, I love kind of having a home team, if you will, to kind of come back to and work with, Northwestern and Wisconsin kind of feel like that to me. But then after that, don't know if you can get better than this year. I'm heading to number one, Georgia, on November 6th as they play Missouri. Hopefully they're still number one by then. They don't blow it for me because, you know, it's all about me and what I want in this situation. So Georgia will be on the docket. I will be going to a very unique game, Northwestern and Purdue at Wrigley Field. And I'm closing over Thanksgiving weekend with a triple header. I'm doing Ole Miss at Mississippi State on Thanksgiving night. Next day, driving to Mobile, Alabama for South Alabama's game against Coastal Carolina. And then the day after that, we'll do Florida International at Southern Miss. And kind of a bang, bang, bang. On a teacher's schedule, you got to make the most of the vacay that they give you.
That's right. No joke. Yeah, we didn't even mention that. Y'all, Andrew is a fifth grade teacher. So he gets to share all these experiences with his kiddos back home. So that's
so question. I didn't know what you teach. It doesn't happen to be geography, does it?
No, that would be great. It's literacy and science, but you know, it's all good. I find, you know, scientific ways to discuss college football any way I can. It's a great way to connect with my kids, and they're super psyched and interested in my tour. And like, where'd you go this weekend? And you know, did you get to work the sidelines this weekend? And who'd you meet? And all this stuff. And so it's fun. It's fun to talk about with my kids. And you know, it's unique.
You should write a kid's book, like on your alphabet, or you know, base it on that, and just a little bit high level of each stadium. That would be really fun. I'd read it.
Hey, for you all, I'll just make sure I don't say B is for Baylor.
Yes, as long as you don't do that, we're good. Okay, Buffalo, got it. Anything else?
There it is.
Yeah, that's an auto ban from the podcast right there. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, we don't do that. I have a question for you, Andrew. So there's 130 teams now, but aren't there about to be aren't there like 10 or 15 more teams that are going to be joining pretty soon?
Guys, I started this when it was at 117.
Mm. Okay, so the number just keeps—it's a moving target for you there.
Extending my finish line, I felt really bad for a group that was doing something similar. They wanted to see just each stadium while it was empty, and they called themselves Project 119. And I said that isn't going to last.
No,
and the number
branding doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I try to keep everything as like numberless as possible. I know, like, James Madison is coming in. I know that's inevitable.
Well, and then, like, I think three or four Texas schools, like Tarleton, Sam Houston's about to join. You know, there's three or four Texas ones. Lamar, I think, is joining D1A, you know, Division One. So it seems like you're going to be back in Texas a little bit. So at least you have a reason to come down and see us.
Yeah.
Right. No, for sure. No. And you know, Texas is, you know, in the state of Texas, I've done Texas Tech, Houston, and Rice, and now TCU, and I have a lot of Texas to go. So if they keep adding it on, I'm just going to make a week of it, a couple weeks of it, and just, you know, hang out down in Texas and bounce to a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday if I can.
Just come during the latter part of the season. Not, I'm sure you accidentally made a bad choice and came during September at some point, and that's not a good decision.
I've learned to schedule it intelligently with the weather. I definitely now hit my Midwest games front half and the games and the Western games in the second half.
That works out well.
So, question, what is, in your opinion, with all the places that you've been, what is the best state so far that you have been to watch college football?
The best state?
Well, I guess I should ask beforehand, have you been to Hawaii?
I have been to Hawaii.
Oh, okay. That, all right. So,
I have.
Yeah. All right. Just want to make sure they were at least in the running. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Fantastic fans, by the way. Like, fantastic. Totally, oh, yeah. Totally into it. How can you beat Texas?
Oh,
I mean, really, how can you? I mean, there's 12 teams currently right now. They're the most of any. And I don't think that's just because of geographical size. I really think that there's so much passion for it down here and there's uniqueness between each one. So I know I sound like a little bit like a homer right now, but I mean, there's so much variety in Texas. I mean, you know, and it's hard to... I feel like Texas would be one, and there'd be a lot of close seconds, but it's hard for me to say anything otherwise.
That's a good point. I mean, there's, you know, like UT's right in downtown Austin. So, and then you have other schools that are at like Tech, just rural areas. And then TCU that's in, you know, not a small town, but kind of a small, it's just every setting's a little different. I would say though, just from being in the Mountain West and Conference USA, it would be tough to pass up some of the California schools with just the views, like you were talking about earlier, and same with Colorado schools and even Utah. God, like,
well, I was going to say Utah. View. Yeah, oh. Utah was
Colorado nice. State. You know,
yeah.
There's a bunch. But hey, El Paso is pretty cool too. All right, you know.
That's the model.
You like
talking.
That kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, and but I guess it would change based on what exactly the category would be.
Yeah,
but I mean, if we're talking about kind of all around. Like tradition and history, and that it feels safe to say Texas.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so
I can't argue with that.
What about
kind of play to his audience, baby? I love it.
He does. Yeah, yeah. That's good. And for those of you listening to the podcast, you can't see this, but he is wearing a Nike Fear the Frog purple cap, and it looks fantastic on you, yes. Especially considering that that's in the foreground, and behind you is a Wisconsin Rose Bowl banner. So. Just got to say, I mean.
Oh, not even. See, do you know what this is back here? And behind me in my background, I have the Wisconsin TCU program. I was at that Rose Bowl in 2011.
Oh,
thanks a lot, y'all.
Sorry, not sorry.
That's all right. It's all good.
Not at all.
JJ tell Watt, us your lesson you learned.
I know. I'll tell you what.
We could have had Tank Carter on tonight if that would have made you feel any better.
Oh my God, no, I just still see his hands raised in the air. No, no. I will say I do have a small story for that though. One thing I'll never forget, and I think it started to humble me because, you know, Wisconsin has been so consistently good for so long now, and getting back to that Rose Bowl was, we all walked in, you know, expecting to win, and you know, I left pretty dejected, and at the airport afterwards, I bumped into a TCU fan who kind of looked at me and said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "You know, that been better." And he looked at me, he goes, "Hey, you'll be back. Wisconsin will be back." This was a moment for TCU that will define them, just like the Rose Bowl for Wisconsin was 10 years earlier. And we had this moment where I kind of looked at him and I went, wow, yeah, duh, totally. Like, and, you know, as I get further and further removed from that Rose Bowl, I couldn't think of a better team to lose to, because what about, I mean, you talk about a team and a fan base that has made so much of their program since that and beyond. You know, obviously they had moments before that, but I'm just saying, like, what a moment to capitalize and build off of. And I'm all about fan bases getting that experience of going to the Rose Bowl, going to those big moments, building that community. You know, it isn't just for one team. I have one in mind right now that has not been dominating college football for quite a while that I'm not going to name, that we all know. It's fantastic for those teams, but I feel bad for those fan bases that don't get those opportunities. And that was one big thing I think I learned on that Rose Bowl.
Yeah. Thank you. We,
that is great.
We still talk about it, even though it's pretty far removed, but we all remember where we were during that game, whether we were there or sitting at home watching it. It's a pretty special moment.
Yeah, and it was a defining moment for the program. And, you know, talking about perspective, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this on a future podcast, but it's refreshing to have somebody like yourself come in who does have that perspective of how college football is different. The culture is different, not just from state to state or conference to conference, but school to school. And it is something that is unique to the culture of that alumni and that fan base that you don't get among, like, say, Major League Baseball or the NFL teams, where it's a little bit more homogenized within the fan base. And it's refreshing to kind of hear not just the homer aspect of it. Don't get me wrong, I love that. But I love hearing how passionate you are about this, that this has really kind of become part of, it's not just a goal that you're just checking off a list. It just seems like this has kind of seeped into your soul almost, that this journey that you're on is kind of, you've been swept up in it and in the pageantry that you talked about, and you're living this. And it's just great to see a fan who is, admittedly, in probably one of the better conferences when it comes to fan bases and diversity of fan bases, but to see you be able to stretch out across the country like that and really appreciate everything that college football has to have and then bring that to the masses, that's an admirable goal, and you can really see it on your face. You are truly excited for the game of college football.
And it hasn't died. Like, the exploration and discovery is awesome. And, you know, I get more excited sometimes about visiting some of the smaller schools than the bigger schools, just because I know they have to work a little harder to stand out, and I want to know how they do it. I find something fantastic in every single one of them, and I look forward to discovering what that fantasticness is.
Amen. Well said. That's true.
Well said. Well, let's...
on that lovely note, now we have to talk about the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, now to talk about something that wasn't fantastic. But before we get there, there is something fantastic that we do have to talk about that I have to apologize, because last week I forgot to mention it to our wonderful podcast listeners. And that is, we actually had a fantastic sponsor for our bus trip up to OU. Yeah, another aspect that wasn't fantastic, but it was really good. In fact, Nick is repping it right now. And Ryan, why don't you go ahead and tell us.
You sure are. Well, I want to give a quick shout out to Jennifer Nix and Williams True. They were one sponsor. And then we had Riff Ram Vintage as the second sponsor.
You know, I feel really bad about that, because I was going to buy a couple of things from her, and I got so busy with the bus and everything else that was going on. So I need to go back and order her stuff online. So
definitely. Sorry. We'll put that link up. And then lastly was Long Drink. We always want a beer type sponsor, and so they really came through for us, y'all. And I really didn't know what Long Drink was. Andrea, had you heard of it? Have you heard
of it? I heard of it. No, not at all. And yeah. I've gravitated right towards it in the cooler at the tailgate, and they were gone fast.
It just goes down like water. So I'm just going to give a little history lesson on this, because I wrote our story on them and I got to know the history. So one reason Long Drink is special to us is that a TCU alumni is an investor in this company that came from Finland. And back in the early 1950s with the Olympics, Finland was hosting the Olympics, and drinking was a big deal. And so they said, we just got to figure out a way to get drinks out really, really fast. And so they came up with what they coined called Long Drink, and it's in its own category. So it's not a beer, it's not a wine, it's not a soda. It's Long Drink, and there's different flavors of Long Drink. So when it came to the U.S. several years ago, it got kind of categorized as the spritzers that are really popular right now. And to be honest, I haven't really found a spritzer that I like until I drank Long Drink, which now I've been corrected that it's not a spritzer, but it's gin, and it's mixed with cranberry soda. and like juniper. It's all natural.
Or
and
grapefruit. They have different flavors.
I mean, I'm sorry, grapefruit. Yes, I always get cranberry and grapefruit mixed up.
They do have cranberry one too. They do have cranberry one.
Oh, there are? Okay.
Yeah.
One of them, I think it was grapefruit from the 1950s originally, and then it is, you know, turned into to other fruit flavors. But it's all pretty natural and not a whole lot of sugar added. And they're just good. They don't have that fake sugar taste. There's just enough carbonation. And so anyway, they supplied our whole bus ride with long drink. And then, of course, donated money to help buy the cute t-shirts that Riffram Vintage designed. So yeah, go out to your, I think, you know, Total Wine, a lot of those places carry it. Of course, they have a website that you can go on to in your zip code and find out where they carry it. But it's good. It's really good. So definitely give it a try.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nick, for sipping on it tonight.
Yes. Nick's on top of everything. And I do have to say, I mean, they do kind of fit into what's called a specialty drink category. And a lot of people know I rep with a couple different distilleries. And when it comes to the gin that they actually use, this is not like, you know, Beefeaters. This is not like your grandfather's gin. This is actually a really good quality gin that's in this. And if you don't like gin, don't worry about it, because the fruits that they actually mix with, it's all natural. So they don't actually throw a bunch of artificial flavoring, which tastes like junk. The all natural flavors that they put in that pair with the gin just right. I mean, the botanicals in the gin and the fruit flavors that they have in the drink are fantastic. And I'll be honest with you, I hate grapefruit. Cannot stand grapefruit. Everybody else in my family eats grapefruit like they're oranges. They love it. I had one of those long drinks, and that was the first time I had something with grapefruit in it that I actually enjoyed. And so yeah, that, and part of that was because the gin kind of evened it all out, and they did a really good job of balancing that out. So if you haven't checked out Long Drink, definitely check it out. They went quick on the bus. They went quick at the tailgate. And if you find a six pack, you'll find that they go quick in your own kitchen. So
I'll do you one better, Sean. You don't like grapefruit. I don't like gin. And I only drink about 6 to 8 of them on the bus trip, and you know, they went down way too easy.
Well, I wasn't going to point out who drank all the long drink on the bus, I mean, but since you outed yourself,
I was just making sure that that we supported our sponsors, as you know, as ones will do, and you know, did some market research. I will say, long drink, they get it done. It works.
Yes. It's very nice buzz.
Yes, absolutely.
Good stuff. And, you know, you can drink it a long time.
You can. And with the way the season is going, you'll definitely want to pick up at least a case.
Boom.
There you go.
On so, to the next segment.
Speaking of how the season is going, that was bad on Saturday. It was absolutely, positively one of the worst outings I think we've had from TCU football in a while. And, I mean, opening kickoff was great. It's fantastic. Absolutely love the opening kickoff. Everything else sucked. And this game really kind of underscores a lot of the issues that we've been seeing out of this team all season long. And I think it really brought out it amplified some of the things we've been talking about over the last few weeks. So, Nick, we haven't heard from you because you've been enjoying your long drink this entire time. Why don't we start with you, your thoughts on the West Virginia game?
Ugh.
Well done.
We'll do our stuff.
Hunter?
Yeah. No,
that works. Go ahead, Nick.
Works.
You can go ahead and fill in for me, Hunter. It's not much to say. You can't win games just scoring 10 points on offense. That was just rough. I feel like offense, they may pick it up this weekend coming up, but that was rough. I was about to fall asleep in the press box up there. I was getting sleepy up there, so I was like, yeah, it's time to go. I had no entertainment up there. I was like, it was rough.
Did you miss me, Nick? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, missed you up there. Had no comedy going along with it.
Thank you.
Didn't have your next side to me slamming the table when they messed up. So
we gotta laugh to not cry at this point.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we're at.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I think, you know, for me, you have hope, right? Each game, you're like, oh no. And I had no doubt in my mind that we were gonna win this game. No doubt. And so you know, and especially after the first drive. And then after that, it was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And used to, we would have hope when we'd go in for halftime. So we're like, ooh, Gary's halftime speech. It's going to be good. He's going to turn this game around. And he always used to. I don't even have faith in that anymore. So I think the saddest thing about this is just my own personal resignation to the fact that I don't think we're going to win another game. We might win one more game, but we're not going to a bowl game. And
luckily,
I hope
we get to play Camp at Kansas. That's the one good thing there.
Did you see how Kansas played OU for three and a half quarters?
At this point, I don't trust us against Kansas. That's one of my winnable games, but not a should win. The defense, as we've talked about, has been abysmal. You know, last week we gave up 200 yards again for the fifth straight game. I don't see that getting much better this week because we played Deuce Vaughn, who is, you know, combined for about 1,000 yards total offense in the first six or seven games, whatever he's had now. So, you know, not great. And then, you know, as the rest of the year goes on, last week we were 110th in defense. We're 119th now in total defense. So not we're not
going the right way, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, we've got five games left, right? Five? Well, in those five, we play three of the top 15 running backs in total yards per game. In Breece Hall, who's number 7, Abraham Smith, who's number 10, and Jaylen Warren from Oklahoma State, who's number 11. So, you know, TCU has got a lot of things not really going for them at this point. You know, we get to face Deuce Bond this week, who is an absolute stud. He's their leading receiver, leading rusher. If I'm them, I'm running up the middle every time because why would you not at this point? So, yeah, it's just the TCU defense is giving you a lot to be desired, you could say. Yeah. It's the most uninterested I've been. And, you know, Ryan kind of pointed out this. It's, you know, it's just it's not even fun to watch anymore. There's not the Gary Patterson, you know, turnovers, tackle for losses. It's like we're just completely lost on defense. And so, yeah, it's not a fun place for TCU right now. I will bring you back out of my pit of misery. We're back to the podcast. Sorry.
I'll tell you what, whatever team we play, it's like the quarterback and the running back is like Moses, and our defense just parts like the Red Sea. I tell you that much. So
they got Mahomes. They got DeAndre Hopkins. They have freaking Derrick Henry. Every team against us looks like they're absolute studs.
Man, every team we play, we make them look like they're the number one team in the nation. So it's not good.
Yeah, and you know, we can talk about what the problem is. I mean, people have said it's injuries. Well, every year we have injuries. Every other team has injuries. Yes. It's the transfer portal. Okay, well, every other team is going through that too, like us. SMU, Baylor should be having the same problems if that's really the problem. So I think it's what makes us compounds this bad season. One is it's our fourth bad season. I mean, let's just think about that for a second. And then secondly, our neighbors, SMU and Baylor, are kicking ass right now. And so it's just hard to sit back and just make up excuses and just say, okay, well, you know, this is the reason. And then hopefully better next year. I mean, we're way past that. Especially because we thought this team was going to be good. That was the other piece, right? We kept hearing how good this team was going to be. And
before the season, you would have never thought this was going to be a team that could barely make a bowl game. You thought this was a team that might win the Big 12. I mean, you've got offensively, talent-wise, Quentin Johnson is the best receiver we've had since Josh Doctson, and he is up there with some of the better receivers we've had at TCU. Just talent-wise, the dude is legit. Max Duggan, I mean, he is not a bad quarterback. He's in his third year now. Don't get me wrong, he didn't have the best second half. But when you think you have to score every time because your defense is getting scored on every time, that doesn't help your offense. And then also, he had a lot of drops, a lot of other things. You know, he's pressing at the end of the game. First half, though, he played pretty well. And then, you know, I mean, just the general, it seems, nonchalance on defense. I mean, we just don't seem to care anymore. It's seriously, you're watching guys walk off the field after third down. You know, you've made a big stop. You know, you think guys are going to be real, you know, pumped up, ready to go. And it just seems that the message is not hitting. Whatever we're doing, we're just not, we don't have that that spark this year. We don't have someone really pushing the buttons on defense to get them fired up. It just, it doesn't.
And it's not even this year. It's been gone for a while. It's like the light went out.
It's been gone for a while, and then just this year, it just seems even worse. I mean, we're 119th out of 130 in total defense. Andrew, you've seen 130 teams, or, you know, you're going to see 130 teams. We're 119th right now out of defense. That is not like Gary Patterson. This is Gary Patterson. This is not a defense that he does. I mean, when have we ever been out of the top 50? If we're out of there, we're going, oh, my gosh, this is the worst team we've ever seen. We are 119 out of 130. We're with UMass. We're with my old my alma mater, UTEP, where they used to be 6-1 right now. No big deal. But it's not a good look, and I don't know what to do to fix it because we don't change.
Yeah. I can say I'm certainly sure it's frustrating. I think back to that 2011 Rose Bowl. I was just referencing earlier, that was a big Wisconsin line with a powerful offense, and we were just expecting to plow right through TCU. I learned a lot about TCU and their connection to a defensive mindset that day, that size didn't matter, speed, agility, all of that, flying around. And, that's the frustration I'm certain you're feeling as you look at this team, you know, and
absolutely.
Kind of idea that this is not our brand.
That's been the brand for forever, and it's not there anymore. We don't have a defense that flies to the ball. We're kind of complacent on that side of the ball, and then offensively, that means, you know, we have to be on to win, and you know, right now we're not on every week, so it's a problem.
Well, the lackluster performance of the offense has certainly been an ongoing issue the last couple of seasons.
For sure.
Defense seems to have been a somewhat steady decline, I would say. And I don't think we had as big of a drop off from year to year as we had in the last year. I think from the stat perspective, there, we've never seen a TCU defense. I know people who have gone through the 60s and the 70s of TCU that are looking at this defense going, oof, I'm glad we didn't have them. Look, we would have been really bad back then. And we were already really bad back then. This kind of drop-off is troubling. The fact that we don't have any depth is troubling. The fact that Patterson doesn't seem to have any answer for it is troubling. And just going back to last week, what Nathan and Shannon were talking about on the podcast about loafing around, didn't get any better. Not that I expect the guys to be listening to our podcast anyway, but for goodness sakes, I mean, if I were a coach and I saw players walking around like that, not being fired up after a third down stop, not swarming the ball, not doing what you normally are doing, I'd get in their faces. And I just don't see that old Patterson anymore on the sideline. And as I mentioned last week, I'm not entirely sure if this whole NIL and transfer portal debacle has somehow changed him and made him a little bit more timid. Not necessarily that he's I'm not saying that he's scared or anything, but I think he's playing things a lot closer to the vest than he has in the past, because out of, you know, an abundance of caution, that he's afraid he's going to either lose the locker room or lose players, because, you know, he's had some players that have decided to go that route.
When you're making front page of the newspaper because of some things that are completely blown out of proportion of the way you coach athletes, I would be a little nervous too.
Do you think this all stems back to that incident? You think that's it?
The L word, that kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it snowballs off of that, and generally just what's happening with coaching. I mean, think about the way we were all coached back in the day. I was a gymnast. I mean, You don't get away with any of that anymore. And Gary's a old school coach, you know, and I just don't know if that's, unfortunately, I mean, to hear my husband talk about it, you know, I mean, you got your butt kicked during practice. And I don't know if it can be like that anymore. I think Cumbie's a perfect example. You know, I've always heard that Coach Cumbie had never even said a swear word, right? And I think that more coaches are that's what kids are wanting these days.
Well,
I don't know.
Real quick, interim head coach, Sonny Cumbie.
Interim head coach, Sonny Cumbie.
So, yeah, just love it. Wells is out. He gets the gig for as long as he can have it. So congrats on him, but sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, Ryan. But you know, there's just two ways, maybe there's kind of this way of coaching and the new way of coaching. And I'm just not sure if we're recruiting the right kids for the way Gary Patterson coaches, you know,
I don't know that type of kid just exists as much anymore.
May not.
I hate to say it that way, but you know, I grew up definitely in the old style of coaching. My dad was my coach until I was in high school, basically. You know, I mean, and even then, I went home to basically a coach every day. WC very much was that type of parent. We watched film every night. It was great. I can attribute a lot of football success to him. Like, I mean, the guy, he could have coached in college and gave it up basically to raise a family and stuff. So, you know, I got the coach's perspective on a lot of things, but I just don't think that's the way coaching is anymore. You know, my generation to the one right behind me, you know, maybe even just a little bit younger than Nick, things changed a lot in that time. Social media became a thing. You know, I mean, just getting your name out there in general became a thing. So people became, you got to think, Zach Evans was famous before he came to TCU. Yeah. He was already a known name. He was someone who, you know, Gary didn't have to make him into anything. He was something. You just got to use him. And so there's just, I think that the way kids are at this point, you know, they've been brought up for this. Some of these guys, especially the top recruits, have been brought up to be, you know, this almost professional when you get into college. You have a different mindset than the way it is, the way it has been, I guess. And I don't know. I just think I think the tough love doesn't always work, especially with the transfer portal, everything else. You know, guys aren't sticking around for 3 or 4 years now to get their chance. Whereas, you know, I mean, think Trevon Boykin. He didn't start till he was a true junior here, but he was kind of moved around on the depth chart. He was a running back. He was a wide receiver. Then they were like, "Oh, you gotta try to be a quarterback your junior year." And he ended up being our best quarterback ever. That doesn't happen anymore because a guy like Trevon Boykin might go, "I don't have to stay at TCU for 2 years to play. I can go over to this school, that school." Things are just different, and that's not Gary's fault, but he has to adapt with it.
You know, you bring up a good point, and I wonder, and let me bring Andrew into this because I think you have a unique perspective that might help me out with this for a moment. Andrew, as you were walking around campus and probably driving around a little bit around the campus in Fort Worth, you probably noticed some of the street signs that we have up with some of the players on the street signs, and that's a thing that's been going on for quite a while, and it kind of dovetails into what Hunter was just saying. It's something that we've done at TCU of trying to build up some of these players and get them some of that notoriety. And this course is pre-NIL days. I wonder, how much of that have you seen on other campuses and other colleges during this tour that you're doing? Do you see a lot of other colleges doing that with their players outside of the stadium in the community?
About how many signs would you say are attributed to players?
It depends on the season. And it depends on whether or not the player
guys usually though, right?
Yeah. I mean,
4 to 5 guys.
Could be 5, 6, could be as many as 8, depending on the season and what type of players we have.
For sure. Yeah. Not quite to that level though. I mean, you're going to focus or highlight on, you know, Drew Brees Avenue and those kind of things, you know, at Purdue and that kind of stuff. Forgive me, Purdue fans, if I messed that up, But I would say that, you know, it's usually some award winner or championship coach. That's about all you see. There, it's a lot of pedestal, a lot of kids on a pedestal that get the light. That is unique though. That's cool that's happening at TCU. I mean, I see that reach in trying to, you know, build that connection with every facet of the community. I don't see it like here at TCU anywhere else. Really.
Yeah. The reason why I ask is I think Hunter makes a good point that I wonder if we haven't quite caught, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love the fact that we do this with our players. And sometimes it's players that you would never even really recognize on the roster because it may have been an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman who isn't the one whose number is getting called over the PA system every single Saturday. But I wonder to Hunter's point, and Hunter, let me bring you back on this and ruminate this for a moment. I wonder if you're not right about this insofar that Patterson is still playing with a mindset that if I just get, you know, all the team together and I show them that I'm putting some of them up and that I'm promoting some of them and that coming to TCU gives them a stake here and gives them a name here and elevates them. I wonder how many of those players really, to be quite frank, care about any of that anymore.
Yeah. You know, that one's a tough one for sure. To me, I see it this way. I think Gary is a coach that a lot of players like actually as a coach. When he's actually coaching you, he's telling you what to do, this and that. He's hard on you, but if you're a really good athlete, I think that's part of it. You know, like you're good with that. You know, you're good. You can take criticism and you can get better from it. And, you know, great players are able to do that. But I see a lot of problem when Gary gets done with a press conference and he's like, well, I taught them the defense and they just couldn't get it. To me, so recruiting, I think he can connect these guys, but there's a lot of times on the, you know, in this year, especially where I feel like he puts a lot of blame on the guys who are out on the field. And I'm like, you know, you say the scheme, you're teaching it, they're not getting it. Well, as a coach, that's a problem to me. If you have, like, I mean, this is the best athletic group we've ever had, offense or defense, as far as I'm concerned. Yes, we did lose two guys to the NFL, three guys to the NFL, two safeties, one linebacker. But we have still recruited better than we ever have. So, at that point, what's the problem there? If you're recruiting the best athletes you've ever had, if they can't get your defense, change your defense. Like you have to change to what you have. And
I was going to say, we have more of our players playing in the NFL right now than we've had ever, but we've had the worst teams in the last 4 years that we've ever seen. One plus one does not equal two. In our case,
as far as NFL talent, we're putting guys out there. I mean, think of the last 4 years. Blacklock, Rager, Ty Summers, Morig, Washington, you know, Wallow last year, yeah. Collier, Banigou. I mean, we're putting guys in the NFL, tons of guys.
They're playing.
They're playing a lot, but somehow there's a disconnect between being able to play on TCU's defense and playing on Sundays. And I just don't understand how we can have all this NFL talent, guys who were, I mean, Zach Evans, legit NFL talent. Quentin Johnson is a legit NFL talent. Easy Obina, you know, the guy who came from Memphis, our left tackle. He had an NFL draftable grade last year, but somehow we just can't get it right with all these guys. We can't get it right with the most talent we've ever had, which just makes it the most frustrating team we've ever had.
Yeah, you're right. It is very frustrating. And the reason why I brought that up is just thinking back to what Ryan said, and I'll be honest, I completely, totally forgot about that incident that happened in the off season. And it was water under the bridge as far as I was concerned, just based on what the players had said. But I wonder if this game has not passed Patterson by, not necessarily, not from an X's and O's standard. I don't think this game would ever pass him by from that perspective, but just the social aspect of rearing
relating to your team.
Right. And I think that's the biggest issue. And I don't know. And we can definitely, we don't have time to go into the whole, if you want to read some of the dissertations on keeping or firing Gary, you could definitely go to the TCU Frog fan forum on killerfrogs.com. And you can read all about that, because I think we have no less than about 6 or 7 different threads on the topic at the moment. I don't want to get into that tonight, but maybe later when we've got Shannon and WC back on. But it makes me wonder, based on between what Ryan was saying and what you were saying, Hunter, if that's not exactly what's going on with this team, that the coaching staff just does not relate to them anymore. And we know that this coaching staff has been around for a while. And I don't know if they truly relate to these kids in a way that they understand how to properly motivate them to get them in that mindset.
Well, and I started thinking about it too. I swear I'm done after this, promise. But, you know, I start thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, you look at all these other great coaches, guys who you think are the cream of the crop college football. Gary is in that. He's definitely in that list, right? You know, Saban, you've got Kurt Ferentz, you've got a lot of older coaches.
Urban Meyer.
Meyer. Yes. But all those guys, I try to look and see what their coaching tree is. We don't have one. You know, so in my eyes, we have failed at an institutional level because we have one guy who has coached for our program, who is now a head coach at another school. We have what's his name? Fuente at Virginia Tech. But other than that, who have we developed to be the next guy? Who have we developed to be the next person?
I have an answer for that. Sonny Cumbie.
Okay, we fired him.
Hey, someone who backed into the job. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah, you're exactly. Absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I just look at it that way, and I'm like, man, we've just continued to not cultivate talent. You know, we're not bettering ourselves as a program. Anyone who comes in here, they don't leave, which is a great thing when you're winning. But when you're not, the culture gets pretty old pretty fast. So, yeah, I really don't know where this team goes from here. And really, I'm excited to see the rest of the year if we can make any adjustments. We can still make a bowl. I'm not counting on that, but we could still technically make a bowl. So, you know, I just want to see if we can make any changes actually, like with our coaching staff that we have now. If we can't, then I would like to make real changes with the coaching staff we have now.
Yeah, I think that will be the title of next week's podcast. But let's get Nick in here, because Nick, I think you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I think it's just hard for the defense. I don't think it's the right personnel that they have. Just going back to it, what Shannon and Nate said last week, it's so it's a 4-2-5 is just a complex defense to grasp with all the rotations that you got to do, the assignments that you have to play. So I think it's just the personnel is not grasping the concept. So it's going to be hard to just pick up over the next 5 games, and I don't expect to see a lot of changes moving forward. But I do give credit to West Virginia's defense. That was probably the best defensive line that the offensive line has faced
all year long.
Yeah, so they put a lot of pressure on that on the backfield. Only had like 170 yards rushing. Evans was under 100 for the first time this year, probably. So that was a shocker. So
yeah, definitely huge props to West Virginia. They came in, they came prepared to play, they played well. Yeah. And their defense had a game plan that I think was on point. And they knew what they had to take out from the TCU offense, and they executed well. So I don't want to make it sound like, you know, oh, woe is, it's all TCU's mistakes. It was certainly going to be, it was certainly an effort from West Virginia that really made that possible. But yeah, good points, Nick. Andrew, yeah, I want to, sorry, go ahead, Nick.
Oh, it's also easy for those DBs too. I mean, you targeted Quentin Johnston 10 times, so I think the next guy, receiver we had, was only 2 catches, and I think that was Tay Barber for 28 yards. So he has 10 targets. Quentin Johnston has 10 targets for 5 catches. So it's like, it's just easy for those DBs to just pick up all those reads in the second half. Why Max threw 2 picks in the second half. So
yeah. Yeah, and Max still needs to work on his telegraphing, because he does that quite a bit sometimes when he locks in on a receiver. But anyway, I digress. Andrew, I want to extend a heartfelt apology for the game, at least, that you got to see on Saturday. But I really do appreciate you coming down and spending time with us and getting to see what the Horned Frogs do, you know, not just at the game, but also in the tailgate scene as well. And I hope you had a fantastic time on Saturday.
We absolutely did. And I don't mean any disrespect by saying this, but we actually came to Fort Worth thinking this might just be kind of a one and done. And then, you know, we're going to, you know what I mean? Like there are some places you go and you're like, we'll probably be here once and that's it. We want to come back and come back and come back and come back. And much of it is thanks to all of you who are so welcoming and so greatly appreciated. And we love the atmosphere. The outcome of the game had zero effect on the atmosphere in my mind. So don't sweat that at all. We had a wonderful time.
That's we were always invited back for every sport. Basketball, baseball is really fun. So you always have tickets. So just reach out anytime.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. And when you finally get to 130 and you're able to check that last one off and you start on basketball arenas, come back, because the Schollmeyer is fantastic. And you're more than welcome to come on in anytime.
Yeah, sounds great. Sounds good.
Yes. And I'm glad to hear that you're not going to just blow through town like a tumbleweed out in West Texas. But hopefully when you make it out to – have you gone to AT&T Jones Stadium yet in Lubbock?
Have I been to Lubbock? No, I've not been to Lubbock yet.
Okay. Take butter for the tortillas. That's all I got to say.
All right.
True, your tip.
Doesn't travel well, but I'll do what I can.
Yes. Well, you know, you can get that spreadable, you know, in the little, yeah, one of those that still works. Right. I can't believe it's not butter or something right. along those lines. It looks good. Or cheese product.
The spray on butter.
Spray cheese works too. Anyway, so with that, I think it's time to go. We're kind of running a little late, but let's jump into predictions real quick, because we do have a game on Saturday. I know a lot of TCU fans are still kind of licking their wounds from this last game against West Virginia, but TCU goes up to Manhattan, Kansas, and plays against Kansas State, a team that I think a lot of us had a lot of question marks going into the season, but this team has kind of really turned things around and really, really turned it on this season. I'm happy for Kansas State. I just wish they had figured out a time to turn it around after we got them, but if they turn it around the negative way next week, that would be great too. Yeah, either way will work. But let's go into predictions. So, Ryan, what do you have? TCU at Kansas State.
I wanted to point out that over the last 4 years, I was adding up, and we are each team is at 21-21 for we're tied on overall conference wins and losses and total season games, wins and losses. We're actually tied. And, you know, I think we're at 2-2 for, you know, games played in the Little Apple, and we've lost the last 2 games that we've played against them and on. And I just feel like, even though everything's stacked against us, it feels like it. I just feel like the battle's got to break. Like we have to have one swing our way. And so I feel like it's going to be close. We typically play each other close, but the weather's going to be great. And this is Patterson's alma mater. And I think being away and not in Fort Worth might help. And I'm predicting TCU 37, K-State 34.
Okay. Still a close game. Nick, how about you?
Yeah. I'm going to try for some reverse psychology. I'm going to go for Kansas State 35-21.
Hopefully, you took my score. I mean, quite literally, you took my score. Okay, then I'm gonna have to do something else here. All right, and you took Kansas State as well. So, that's okay, Nick. Usually, it's WC.
Reverse psychology.
I'm feeling the same way. We'll get to mine in a minute.
There.
All right, Hunter. Last week and it didn't work.
Well, you know, I have been picking TCU pretty much every week. I did pick SMU, but that didn't work either. So I'm going to go back to picking the other team. I'm going 34-24 Kansas State until TCU can show anything other than what they did last weekend.
All right. Sounds good. Andrew, could I interest you in just a gentleman's wager on what do you think the game may actually turn out to be for TCU next week?
Be nice.
I will. I'll be nice. Usually I go with the purple team, but this is not working. I'm looking at Kansas State kind of coming back, having a big win this past week, 25-24 over Texas Tech. I feel the level let down. Let's reverse that score, 25-24 TCU on the road.
Yeah, I like it.
I like your style, but
I do like it.
It's a bit risky.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, around here, a score like that, 25-24, we call that the Gary Patterson special. So yeah.
Win by one, baby. That's
win
all you
by
need.
One. That is the
Six
motto.
Games, win by one, baby.
That is the motto that we all love to hate around here. It's a good one. Well,
last point.
Yeah. Well, to round out the predictions for this week, I also will play a little reverse psychology as is. And originally I was going to say 35-21, but I'll give us the extra 3 points that Hunter is doing, but I'm going to stick to my original 35 for Kansas. So 35-24 Kansas State over TCU. And I am praying that both Andrew and Ryan are correct. So we will see how that goes because we could definitely use a win on the road to do something. Yep. It'll be interesting to see. All right. Well, with that, I want to thank everybody out there who has been listening to us. We are available on the Apple Podcasts. I keep saying iTunes, and that's just dating me. So sorry about that. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and now also on Spotify, you can find the Killer Frogs podcast. Of course, you can go to the Killer Frogs Fan Nation on Sports Illustrated. Just go to killerfrogs.com. While you're there, you can go ahead and click on the tab to go to the forums, and you can sign up for a free account and discuss TCU Athletics with the rest of us. And let us know, what do you think the score prediction is going to be for this Saturday? Tell us how much me, Nick, and Hunter are totally wrong, and that TCU is going to win in a blowout. Or maybe you agree with Andrew. Maybe think it's going to be a Gary Patterson special, win by one. I don't know. Go into the forum. Let us know. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's the time. And Andrew, we usually have another tradition here. We get our frogs up. And I imagine that is a strong frog from Andrew.
There's a lot of practice. A ton
he's
of
a
practice.
Natural.
Man, I tell you, he's got the curl in the fingers and everything down.
It from the first get go.
It is. So it's the time at the end of the podcast. We get our frogs up and we get to say,
go frogs.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it and wish you good luck on the rest of your journeys through college football.
Thank you so much for the invitation today. I really enjoyed it.